But the difference is they're looking at the end goal, the bottom line. Nehemiah says, no, here's why I did it. Because of the fear of God. Because of the fear of God. Nehemiah did what was right before God, not what was right for his own cares and concerns. Why? Because he knew he would have to answer to God. This is why, for the fear of God. Pastor, what are you doing? How do you do these things? Why do you take your time on praying on these things? Here's why. Because of the fear of God.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Hello and welcome back to the Hope Restored series. Last time we learned that restoring relationships is just as important as rebuilding walls. Today in Nehemiah chapter 5 verses 14 through 19, we discover that Nehemiah didn't simply call others to live differently. He modeled it himself. Nehemiah refused to take advantage of his authority. He worked alongside the people, cared for those in need, and used his influence to bless rather than burden others. He understood that leadership isn't about status. It's about stewardship. The strongest testimony of a leader is a life that matches his message. True leadership doesn't ask, how many people serve me? It asks, how many people can I serve? Today's question is, who is watching your life? And what example are you setting for them every day? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's lesson from Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 14 through 19. One great example. Here's Pastor Ben.
What Nehemiah is showing you and I today, guys, and we got to grasp this for our application, is Nehemiah was a great example of putting the work of God ahead of his own personal interests. This is what he's telling. This is what he's saying. Now, what we need to put on our thinking caps and understand the text, he certainly had the right to tax the people for his support. He certainly had that right. He was the governor. Others had done it before him, but he took a step back. He goes, okay, God, this is how man does it. How do you want to do it? Okay, we're gonna do this. And he says, we didn't take that right because it wouldn't help the work of God. This is what he's saying right here. And I think of the Apostle Paul. He's another great example of someone who had the right to be supported, but didn't take that right because it was better for the cause of the gospel. Instead, if you remember, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker for the sake of the work of God. You go, Pastor, what's your point? You ready? Servant leaders lead by sacrifice, not by an attitude of entitlement. Now, listen to me. Every one of us wants to be a servant until we're treated like a servant. Because nobody wants to be treated like a servant, but in the family of God, being a servant is the greatest thing. But what he's saying right here to you and I is that we need to lead by example, by sacrifice, not by, look at me. In the body of Christ, guys, I'm afraid there are too many people behind the pulpit with a title pastor and the whole thing that's entitlement. And we're missing the fact that we need to be loving people and we need to be serving people. And we have this entitlement, well, you know, I'm the pastor. And I'm, you know, we have to remember that the pastor and the leadership and the elders and all these, they should be men who lead by sacrifice, not by entitlement. You remember when we first came out to Lubbock to plant this church. We started out here and we had rented an apartment and we asked the apartment if we could use their clubhouse, and that's how we started with our church, in the clubhouse. You go, whoa, wait. Well, didn't the sending church give you any money? Didn't they provide? Didn't they rent you a building? Didn't they pay your salary? You were paying. Yeah, okay. So I was on staff at the church in New Mexico. They laid hands on us and they sent us out. And we planted this church with $200. $200 that our home fellowship gave us as we were leaving. You go, well, what did you do? We got jobs. And we started to work. And we did the work of the ministry until it was at that point where it's like, okay, Ben, you need to come on full-time service. We need to have the pastor. Okay. I'll never forget. I was working for Family Life Radio and I had the job, and it was time. The elders and the board of directors and my pastor was like, it's time. And I remember the first week I came on staff, I was sitting at my desk going, I don't know what to do. I feel like I have all this time. I'm like, oh, what? Full-time at the church, what do I do? And that quickly went away as things started to go. But I remember thinking, man, because we were working and doing the ministry. And again, think about that. The reason the heart of this church is the way it is because we weren't given and we weren't entitled and we weren't supported. And I know people who plant churches and they start out with $200,000 for their church. And I say, praise God, if you could do it. We didn't. We started out with $200 and we trusted God. But I'll tell you what that does for us, guys. First and foremost, that just brings such peace to my heart, because then I know 22 years later, it's a work of the Lord, not me. And you can ask Pastor Soph and Yvonne, there were a lot of ups and downs in those years, a lot of ups and downs. Lot of like, what's going on? And this is exactly servant leaders lead by sacrifice. As a servant leader, Nehemiah realized that the more responsibility that you've been given means the less rights you have. This is what he knows. Look with me in verse 15, guys, as we continue in our study. He says, but the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. He says, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. If you're an underliner or a highlighter, I want you to underline that last sentence. I want you to think about for a moment the heart of Nehemiah right here. He's writing. He's probably thinking you need to understand, the book of Nehemiah is like a diary. This is just something he's writing. He's not thinking it's going to be published for us to see and read and dissect and be in the canon of scripture. And so he goes, you know what? Here's what he says. He says, you know what? From the time I was appointed governor, when I went back to the land of Judah, from the 20th year for 12 years, he said, we lived a sacrificial life. We gave. We didn't ask for the provisions. He said, as a matter of fact, the governors who were before me, they laid actually heavy burdens on the people. He took their bread, the wine, and 40 shekels of silver. And yes, servants bore rule over the people. He says, but I didn't do so. Here's why. Because of the fear of God. Your attention, please think about this. I want to be a servant. I want to have the heart of Nehemiah. Remember, the heart of Nehemiah is a man of compassion, and a man of compassion is one led to do something, to do something. Guys, I want to be a church. I want to be a congregation. I want to be a church that says, how can we help? What can we do? I saw a funny meme today, a reel or whatever you want to call it on social media, and the reel was really simple. The guy said, you know what? He says, I went to my pastor, and my pastor, I told him I was having financial trouble, and he says, isn't it funny when I have financial trouble? The pastor says, well, just pray on that, brother. You just need to believe. He says, but if the church air conditioning goes out, they're hitting me up for money. They're asking my discover and all that. And I thought, you know what? It's funny, but there's some truth to that. And the Lord knocked on my heart. He said, listen, I want to be a church where we can look at somebody and go, okay, what can we do? What can we do to help? What do you need? Well, Pastor, this is why we have the food. This is why we have the food drive. This is why we do these things. Because I want to be a church that says, okay, it's not, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Nehemiah realized something, guys, that we need to realize, that God gave him a position to have influence on the people, but he didn't give him a position to gain greater affluence on the people. Servant leaders, you and I realize it's not about me. It's about leading through sacrifice. Other leaders had sought to move with self-interest. What's in it for me? Okay, I'll do it. What's in it for me? And Nehemiah is teaching us, guys, that it's like, okay, here's what I need to do. I need to move. Okay, it's not about me. It's about the gospel. It's about seeing people saved. It's about seeing people walking in Jesus. It's about the kingdom. It's about what God is calling us to do. You see, it's not enough for us to come on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning or any other event, sit here and say, okay, feed me. That's not church. Church is, okay, I'm learning, I'm growing, what can I do? What can I do now? How can I serve? And that's the whole point. Nehemiah realized that it wasn't about oppressing others. It was about relieving others so that they could fulfill their life purpose as well. And they started with this sacrifice. If you were to look at the plethora of videos and books on leadership, many of them are using these same principles that Nehemiah taught us here in the book of Nehemiah. All the same principles, church. Leaders eat last. Sacrificing. Simon Sinek says, you know what? Instead of looking at somebody going, how come you didn't do this and you need to get it together, but find out what's going on in your life so that we can motivate others. But the difference is they're looking at the end goal, the bottom line. Nehemiah says, no. Here's why I did it. Because of the fear of God. Because of the fear of God. Nehemiah did what was right before God, not what was right for his own cares and concerns. Why? Because he knew he would have to answer to God. This is why, for the fear of God. Pastor, what are you doing? How do you do these things? Why do you take your time on praying on these things? Here's why. Because of the fear of God. This is exactly how we are. One day, church, your pastor's got to stand before a holy God and give an account. For every day that I stood behind this pulpit and taught the Bible, and did you teach it with accuracy and clarity under the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing? Did you teach a watered-down gospel so you could have the people in the chairs? Did you do all, and I mean, this is, no. I have to stand before God and give an account. This is why he says, not let many of you be teachers. Being a pastor is a sacred and holy calling that you're going to have to stand before God. And people come to me often and go, Pastor, I want to be a senior pastor. I want to plant a church. I'm going to do this. And it's like, you don't know what you're asking. I want the heart of Nehemiah. What does Nehemiah do? Verse 16, indeed, I also continued to work on the wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. Don't you just love that? Why? Because a lot of leaders sit back and go, I've made it. I made it. I don't have to do this anymore. And Nehemiah goes, no. Indeed, I continued to work on the wall. Listen. We're all leaders in here, and God is calling us to be leaders by example. How are we going to clean the church? Leaders by example. What can I do? I continued to work on the wall. What events? What outreaches? What am I doing? We continued to work on the wall. He says, we didn't buy any land. He says, let me pour into you the fourth attitude Nehemiah possessed. You go, what's that? Servant leaders look after the needs of their followers. Servant leaders. Because he knew that if they were met, then they could reach their full potential and hence perform at their best. Best-selling author Stephen Covey writes, quote, the difference manifests itself in the care taken by the servant first to make sure that other people's highest priority needs are being served, end quote. Think about what he just said. He said, the attitude we need to have is I need to look over your needs. I need to make sure you're doing well. I need to see how you are. This is a great business model, but this is a great church model. Putting people's needs. How are you? The Bible tells us that putting others' needs above yourselves, you become successful when? When you make others successful. You become successful. Let me give you the fifth one, learning from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, servant leaders are good stewards. They're good stewards. You go, what do you mean? Notice verse 17. He says, and at my table were 150 Jews and rulers besides those who came to us from the nations around us. So first and foremost, I want you to see his heart. He said, look, we continued to work in the wall. All my servants gathered there for the work. He didn't uplift anybody. Oh, Pastor Soph, you're an assistant pastor. Okay, you don't have to do the work, Soph. No, okay, you don't need to do that. No, Ron, you don't. You see, that's not the mentality of the church. The mentality of the church is like, come on, leadership by example. How are we doing this? Let's go. All right, guys, time to clean. Who's going to do it? Oh, phew. No, this is it. It's, hey, what can we do? His servants were working. And then he says, and those at my table, well, there was a lot of people there. You see, Nehemiah had food provided for him and his court as governor of the region, but was much more than he ever needed. Indeed, as he looked around, he saw people all over. Starvation was spreading throughout the workers and the famine. His impact grew. We saw that in the first four chapters. Do you guys remember reading that? And Nehemiah, instead of hoarding and keeping for himself during the times of great shortage, he invited 150 Jews to eat at his table. Every night, come on in. Nehemiah had everybody at his table. He had blue collar, white collar, no collar. And I love what he's teaching us. Nehemiah teaches us that as servant leaders aren't driven by money or personal gain, but are motivated by loving people and doing what's best for them. Think about that. You want a marriage principle? You want a marriage principle right here? It's right here. You go, what's that? Be a servant leader to your wife. Be a servant leader to your husband. You're not driven by personal gain. Well, I'm going to do this because you did. It's like, look, I'm here to serve you. I'm motivated by loving people, and I want what's best for them. Verse 18, as we make our way through Nehemiah, says, now that which was prepared daily, he gives us, was an ox, 6 choice sheep. The fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet, in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provision, because the bondage was heavy on the people. Oh, Lord, to have a heart like Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, this is what was given to me. And not once did I demand it. Not once did I come and say, this is what I deserve, you people. We've had outside opposition, inside opposition. You guys can't get along. We're trying to build a wall for Pete's sake. Nehemiah didn't say that. Nehemiah goes, you know what? This is what was given to me. And I shared it. And I saw people, and I saw the needs of people, and I saw the hurt of people. It's at this point in our Bible study that we have to do a heart check, don't you think? And we have to say, hey, what are we hoarding up that we should be giving away? What are we hoarding up? Well, I'm guilty. Give it away. See others blessed. How much food do we really need? And again, we have to do a heart check because notice Nehemiah's heart. He says the bondage on the people, it was heavy. It was heavy. I got to be honest with you, church. I know you're going to leave me up here all alone. I get that. But there are times when I look at the bondage of my own life versus the bondage of somebody else. What I'm going through, what I need, these are my... Paul tells us what? Not only the interest of others, but your interest as well. Nehemiah, in his own life, guys, lived the way he told nobles and rulers to live. Not to take personal advantage of others' needs. He did what a godly leader must do. He never expected more of his followers than he expected of himself. Nehemiah made sure that everyone had enough so they could give God their best when rebuilding the walls. Think of Sam Walton. Now, I know Walmart's changed completely, but Sam Walton, guys, the founder of Walmart, he despised those corporate fat cats. He could and would and handle the cash register as well as stock the shelves at any of his Walmart stores. He drove an old, rusty, dented pickup, not to prove a point, but because it still had plenty of good mileage left in it. It could be said that Sam Walton was a servant leader. Something's changed. I think there are times when the church gets really big and it's considered a mega church, and the pastor then becomes a rock star. And he's ushered in and ushered off, and he's not the shepherd of the sheep. It's easy for me to say because we're not a mega church, but the heart of the matter is that we need to be with the heart of the people. And I love when mega church pastors still get down and talk to people and love people. Now, I understand 14,000 people, everybody wants to talk to you. You got to have some balance, but where's your heart? Your heart was people. Nehemiah 5:19 says, Nehemiah writes, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Now, you need to know he's not bragging here. He's not going, okay, God, remember me. Look, I had to put up with... He's not saying that at all. Remember, this was his little journal that he didn't think anybody would see. And Nehemiah did not look for the praise of men, but he wanted to honor and minister to God. In fact, Nehemiah probably originally intended that no one else see this part of the book. It's kind of that like little secret diary that he was just writing. And he says, remember me. Let me just say this to you guys, by way of application, applying what we've learned today in our own private time with the Lord, it's entirely appropriate and right to say, remember me, my God, for good, and to have confidence in our heavenly reward instead of the praise of men. Instead of the praise of men. The one thing that I had to learn very quickly in becoming the senior pastor is you're going to get a lot of compliments and people are going to love you. And then you're going to get people who go, man, they're going to just trash you. And what you do is you find yourself somewhere in the middle. You don't believe all the great, oh, pastor, that was so good. Oh, my gosh. We've been looking for a church like this for 30 years. Oh, my gosh. Okay, God bless you. I won't see you again. And that's the truth. We've had people from California come in here and go, oh, we went to Great Glory's church. We're so glad that Calvary Chapel's here. So you go, pastor, the point. Here's the point. Listen. We do it for what? Not for the praise of men. And when somebody, you know, somebody gets behind here and he leads a good Bible study and after service somebody goes, man, that was really good. You say, praise God. Praise God. You get up on the in the worship team and you say and go, man, that worship just really touched my heart. Praise God. Why? Because the goal is here is the heavenly reward. Lord, did I please your heart? Did I minister to your heart? Unfortunately, as humans, we're looking for the pats on the back, the attaboys, the good jobs. And I love encouragement as much as the next guy. But when we're mopping the floor and nobody sees, when you're here and you're mopping and nobody's patting you on the back, and it's like, well, who are you doing it for? You're doing it for the Lord. I want to have the heart that God has. And you go, what heart is that? First and foremost, to look at people the way God sees them and how they're going to be. I want to see beautiful pieces of furniture, not just big old stumps of wood. Well, that's nothing good but for firewood. That's not what we want. We go, God, you're going to do something amazing. Why? Because we're living testimonies, aren't we, of God doing something great. But you can honestly say, God's not done with me yet. He's still working on me. He's still chopping away. He's still sanding down, and there's going to be a great thing. I love the heart of Nehemiah, because notice what he said. He's writing this diary, if you will, and he says, according to all that I have done to these people. And we should be glad that God took his personal diary of Nehemiah and gave it to us. And you go, why? It shows us that a leader must first lead by example, and that Nehemiah could tell others to do what was right because of his own walk was right. Isn't that come on, somebody. Real talk? Isn't that the hardest thing to do? When we're not walking right with God, it's hard to tell somebody else to walk right with God, isn't it? You're like, I can't say anything. I'm a mess. Nobody knows. But when we're trying to serve the Lord, and you're just like, man, I get it. Get it. But you realize that people are people. They're messed up. They're broken. Amen. And getting with somebody and having a cup of coffee and seeing right where they're at, that's the goal. It's okay. Oh, no, Pastor Ben, that's not what we do. We need to lay down the law. Well, I get that the Word of God says these things, but Nehemiah is just showing us. He's like, Lord, here's something you can write down. Nehemiah's public words and his private actions said the same thing. Let me say this. You ready? Conviction time? Anybody want? Yeah? No? Okay. I'll say it anyway. Thanks, Soph. He's in agreement. Are we the same person at work or out? Are we the same person at home than we are out? Are we the same person at our jobs than we are at home? In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.